good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton Cuff, Henny Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahare, which means distant thunder in the sacred language of the sacred voice, Ho-Chunk. I'm here, and we do things. We've been on almost 4 years. It'll be 4 years in January, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show...
Go ahead.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for all your COVID-19 questions.
Awesome. Hey, also, too, you got something else going on.
I do. Listen to this. This is from Howling for Wolves. And Howling for Wolves invites you to an outdoor fundraiser featuring singer Jen Hewitt, and that's going to take place on October 24th from 2 to 4 p.m., and it's going to be at the Downtown Park Pavilion, 49th Avenue South in Hopkins. And just so you know, Jen Hewitt is an accomplished Native American songwriter who captures the wolf's spirit.
Well, I'll be going. Cool? Oh, look at...
I'll be mentioning this later on, too. So if you need to get a pen, go ahead and get one. You can write down the information.
I'll be going there because I'll be lonely crying myself to sleep every night because Wendy will be out of town.
I'll be out of town, but I might be back on the 24th. Probably not, but we'll see.
Wow, you got my hopes up high, and then boom. Hey, as you know, Ogama and I were in Washington, mm-hmm. and she just joined us on the show, but... Lewis, our utility man, he can play second base, third base. He can pitch and catch. He's going to be doing that, going to do the news for Ogama today. So, as you know, we talk about news and events that you don't hear anywhere else on Turtle Island. Welcome, Lewis, and hello, Ogama.
Hey, welcome, everybody. It's great to be here. Day after Indigenous Peoples Day. It's going to feel weird to do the news. We got Ogama here. It's like your boss looking over your shoulder, critiquing everything you're doing. Oh, my God, I better do a good job. So good to be here. And Hamatakiapi, Yuha Chante, Washte, Nape, Chayuza, Pillow. Agree with a good heart and a warm handshake. We got some great news today, so I'll just get right into it. Minnesota Indigenous leaders deliver petitions with 1 million signatures to the U.S. Army Corps to stop Line 3 Star Sands Pipeline in Washington, D.C. So this was on Tuesday, the 12th. Indigenous leaders and supporters who have been resisting the construction of the expanded Line 3 Tar Sand Pipeline delivered 1 million petitions. Man, that's a lot. Asking the Biden administration to stop the project pending a full environmental review, which, by the way, he should have done in the beginning. Two water protectors climbed the flagpole, and this is not Ogama Robert. I think I have pretty confirmation on that. Outside the Army Corps of North Atlantic Division office, took the U.S. flag down and replaced it with a free, informed, and prior consent flag that read, consultation is not consent. That's pretty sweet. The group held ceremony with Anishinaabe drummers and spoke outside the headquarters of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, calling on Jamie Pinkham, acting Assistant Secretary of the Army for Civil Works, to conduct a full federal environmental impact statement to assess the Line 3 project threats to human rights, water, and climate. With carbon emissions equivalent of 50 coal power plants and crossing more than 227 lakes and rivers, Line 3 threatens the drinking water of 18 million people and the health and wellness of many, many more. Tribal governments, state legislators, and members of Congress, and hundreds of community environmental racial justice organizations have called the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to complete a full environmental impact statement before the pipeline completes. About 900 people have been arrested in peaceful actions resisting the pipeline. With the announcement of the pipeline construction in substantially complete, that's quote unquote, the full environmental review has become more urgent because of ongoing damage to waterways along the construction route. Earlier this year, if you guys remember, Army Corps Secretary Jamie Pinkham visited Minnesota and saw the impacts of Line 3 firsthand. He met with tribal officials and some of the water protectors who will present the petitions, but has failed to follow up on the commitments to address the concerns. 1 million, that's just quite tremendous, quite tremendous. Also, just on other news here, we're talking about ICWA. I just want to kind of keep that clear and present. The Supreme Court could save or diminish or demolish tribal sovereignty. The Roberts Court may have no choice but to resolve a sprawling case that threatens the Indigenous Welfare Child Welfare Act, the legal regime that has supported Native people. The Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA, is one of the most vital tools that Native people have at their disposal to guard against cultural genocide. Enacting in 1978, ICWA was a response to a long-running crisis among Native people. Native children in large numbers were being separated from their families and communities by state and private adoption agencies. The law's fate and power of Native American people to protect their cultures will be in the hands of the Supreme Court if it decides to take up the consolidated case Halen versus Bracken. The case resolves around Bracken's, a white evangelical couple in Texas who wanted to adopt a Cherokee and Navajo boy who they had fostered. This could be really, really bad news for sovereignty. It's not only about ICWA, it's about maintaining sovereignty of 574 federally recognized nations. On the home front today, this actually surprised me, guys. Minnetonka moccasin brand is sorry for profiting off Native American culture. Minnesota-based brand Minnetonka Moccasin has been selling moccasins and other Native-style shoes and products for over 75 years, a fact that did not explicitly acknowledge until last year. On Monday, Indigenous Peoples Day, it yet again apologized for profiting off Native American culture and discussed its changes would be implementing ongoing forward. Quote, we recognize that our original products, some of which are still sold today, have been appropriated from Native American culture, says the most very common thing anyone ever could say in their entire life, David Miller, Minnetonka CEO, in the company's public statement. We Minnetonka deeply and meaningful apologizes for having benefited from selling Native inspired designs 75 years later and millions of white people being riched off Indigenous people. So
are they writing us a check, Lewis, or how sorry?
I know. Checks in the mail, Ogma.
How sorry are they?
Checks in the mail. On the home front, and I don't know, I cannot correlate if this is directly because Native Roots Radio and Robert Pilot wearing funny golf pants and golfing here. But needless to say, Governor Evers issues an apology for Wisconsin's role in Native American boarding schools. On Indigenous Peoples Day, October 11th, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers signed an executive order to formally acknowledge and apologize for Wisconsin's historical role in Indian boarding schools. The governor has made the announcement during a visit to the Oneida Nation. For, quote, for more than a century between the 1860s and 1970s, the U.S. federal government induced and coerced thousands of Native American children from their families' homes, placing them in boarding schools funded by the U.S. government, operated by the government and religious organizations. Estimates indicate thousands of children were forced into boarding schools. And shout out to Governor Evers for issuing that apology. That's fantastic, Robert and Ogma.
Wow, you know, I just got to say too, I talked to him about the wolf hunt, and he was pretty apologetic about it. And I heard from other people, his staff, and some other people in the know, that all the nations in Wisconsin are giving him a hard time about that. So, you know, instead of killing 300, they're going to only kill 130. So he feels a little better about that. So we'll have to really bring that up. Hey, we're going to have Andy Pearson, Wendy, on, who's probably one of our first year on the show was probably on about 15 times. We gave him a robe and a t-shirt and everything.
Because, and he's from MN350.
Yeah, and yeah. He's going to be on next. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas.
When we face our fears.
Let go of our addictions.
When we relearn our values.
When we live our teachings.
Respecting our elders.
Cherishing and honoring our children.
When we honor and take care of our spirit.
There will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The new Line 3 tar sands crude oil pipeline threatens our water and climate.
It's the end of the tar sands party, and Enbridge wants to sell some oil. Tar sands is the dirtiest oil in the world, so they really put our Great Lakes water in peril. The environmental permitting for this process is a joke. The line was shoved down our throats, and that's wrong. And we're still fighting it, and it's brutal. They should do an environmental impact statement on this project.
Visit stopline3.org to take action.
What we want is a just transition.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, what a coincidence. Hey, I just got to say something, too. That song, the bumper music, that was Tribe Called Red, and that's kind of one of their famous songs. You see it in a lot of different natives dancing on videos and things like that. It's very cool. They changed their name to The Hallucination. So, like, and they're that. Coming in town soon, too. So I don't know if I want to mask up and really rock out and get a T-shirt, because you know how I am with T-shirts, get a Hallucination T-shirt. Ogama and I were in D.C., Washington, D.C., and now we're going to talk to Andy, and he's going to fill us in on yesterday and what he did. And also what happened today and what Lewis was mentioning earlier in the news. So,
and Andy's still in Washington, D.C., right?
Yeah. Wow. But you can take your phone anywhere, Wendy. You can go anywhere with that phone. It doesn't matter. But hey, Andy Pearson, one of our all-time favorite guests, is on. And he's with MN350, the Action Group. And we are proud. They're proud sponsors of this show, too. And so let's get to Andy right now and see what's happening there in D.C. and what he experienced today and yesterday. Welcome, Andy.
Hey, thanks so much. It is just such a pleasure to be here. Apologies for the background noise. It's true that you can take your phone anywhere. And right now I'm still outside in D.C. and it's a little bit noisy here, but excited to be on the show. Hopefully y'all can hear.
Yeah, it sounds good, Andy. It doesn't sound bad at all. So, Andy, Ogama and I were in D.C. yesterday. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you experienced yesterday, and then we'll slide into what's happening today and what's going to be happening in the rest of the week in Washington, D.C.?
For sure. Thanks. And I'm sure you two have already covered most of what the event's about. So just to quickly touch on it, right? This is a week of action that's called People versus Fossil Fuels. And it's calling on President Biden to build back fossil free as he's implementing this first year of his agenda. And we know that the urgency around action for climate justice is just so great. So, of course, yesterday, Monday, was Indigenous Peoples Day, as we know, and the action was, specific to Indigenous Peoples Day and pointing to lifting up the Indigenous leadership that is leading the climate justice movement across this country. And so the way that the action kind of worked is, several hundred people, about 500 people, a little over 500, gathered up at Freedom Plaza, had some training the previous night, and then a little bit of breakfast in the morning, got assembled and then marched to the White House with some big banners and signs. A group of about 130 people yesterday decided that they would stay in front of the White House fence and not move in an attempt to get the president to hear us all. And they were removed and arrested, or I should say cited. And the larger crowd of several hundred folks was right there across the street and shouting their support. And carrying on the art and the chanting, and we heard from a lot of speakers from all across the movement. It was just a beautiful, powerful day.
It was, and I think Ogama, I don't know if she's on right now, but or able to speak to you, but I know she was going to be arrested, but she has baby on board, and then we found out the fine wasn't that much, so she could have been arrested, I guess.
Right, Robert's on. Always looking for a reason to sacrifice me to arrest for line three. So.
Wow, she caught on, Wendy.
Well, it's interesting, go on, Wendy.
No, I was just saying the sacrificial lamb, poor Ogama. Yeah.
If I was ever going to get arrested, line three is a good reason. Just saying.
Well, now, as we know, there have been so many people who have taken that step, over 900 arrests so far on the front lines of line three. And so this was taking some of that same energy today that we saw as we're specifically talking about groups, communities, people who are on the front lines of the bad, right? The bad effects of the fossil fuel infrastructure. This is kind of a day to focus on that world we're trying not to build, right? The fossil infrastructure world. And a big part of this story here today, not all of it, but a big part of it was around line three. And there was actually a specific event that happened this afternoon, which was entirely about line three, which I imagine we'll talk about. But definitely another powerful day here today, and people really doing everything they can to step up and be heard.
Yeah, definitely. So you work with MN350. We can talk a little bit about MN350, especially for our Wisconsin people, because I know on Devil Radio, believe it or not, they had young people doing a show, Wisconsin 350, on Devil Radio in Madison. And when I was visiting Madison for work, I did our show out of there. Where I was on out of Devil Radio in Madison. And right after that, Wisconsin MN350 came in, and they were young people that did a show, and it was just like fabulous. So tell a little bit about MN350, and we can talk a little deeper about today and yesterday.
Absolutely. Well, I first just want to say a huge, huge hello to all the good folks at Madison 350. I know, unlike in Minnesota, we have, MN350 is kind of for the whole state. And I know in Wisconsin, they have some 350s that are just doing such fantastic work, but are named after cities. So good friends at Madison 350, 350 Madison, I should say. It's different order, 350 Madison. And the 350 group in Milwaukee as well, and some others. So just so grateful across the state line for all the good work that those groups are doing. And of course, over here in Minnesota 350, even though talking from DC here today, there's a lot of work that we're doing, and it's all centered on climate justice. A lot of the work that I have been doing for the past 7 years has been fighting these oil pipelines that the Enbridge company is trying to shove across our state and across Wisconsin, most recent of which is Line 3. It's been the biggest fight here. We're also doing a lot of work around the world we want to see, building up a Green New Deal, working on the policies that get us there, working on the changing hearts and minds, working on building the base and the movement. MN350 Action is a related organization that works on elections. So trying to you know, play our part as part of a large world, wonderful world of groups and individuals and organizations that are trying to make a difference for climate justice.
Yeah, I know. Too, what's really awesome about MN350 personally is I know they've always, as long as I've known about them, which is 4 or 5 years, right? Since Standing Rock, we went to Standing Rock.
That is 4 years. That is wild.
Yeah. And yeah, it is wild. But you've always put the Native people up in front and really supported our work, and you still do that. And I know it was cool. It was running into your significant other, and you both were marshaling that event, because yesterday we marched a few blocks to the White House, and it was just great to see people. There was another board member of MN350 there that lives in D.C., and it was just, again, a good feeling and good work, and I just got to give MN350 a big shout-out, and you specifically, Andy.
Hey, that means a lot. No, it feels like a really big kind of movement-wide get-together in D.C., and it's a little bit like seeing family or old friends, you know, mm-hmm. in a way to have a big gathering like this. And honestly, with the COVID, you know, pandemic, of course, they're being so careful at this event in D.C. by requiring folks to be vaccinated and requiring masking, and they're really trying to do their part there. But it's a reminder of how many of those social connections that are so important to building building towards the change we need really have not been able to happen over this past year and a half. And so just being out here and getting to see people in person, it definitely had me missing, being at events.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good point. Really good point. Hey, Andy, we got like a minute and a half left here. Can you hold on for another segment?
For sure.
That's awesome. Hey, we're with Andy Pearson of Minnesota 350, and we're going to take a quick short break and talk a little bit about what happened today and what's going to be happening this week with a week-long action happening in Washington, D.C., Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we take a quick break and hit the bumper music and... Okay, I'm pushing up. Wendy,
I'm off one day
and I'm all messed up. Okay, here it is.
That's it. You got to
get
here,
let me get some applause here before.
Nope, no applause either.
There's some applause for me. Okay. Oh, like, there we go. Wendy, I'll talk about raccoons later. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Andy Pearson of MN350. Let's kick back and listen to the music. We'll be right back after this short break, Wendy.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
I'm Claire Ferreira, president and owner of Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, here to share some information about our 5 for 25 drive program. We ask customers to take 5 minutes to review their experience with us, and we donate $25 to a local nonprofit of their choice. So far, our 5 for 25 drive has raised close to $50,000. Thanks to all of you out there who've taken part in this ongoing program. Find out more about our 5 for 25 drive program at standardheating.com. That's standardheating.com.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown. We're not just another print shop. We give back to the community and stand up for racial, social, and economic justice. At Minuteman Press Uptown, we understand Black Lives Matter and know love is love. We're the only minority-owned and proud union shop in the state. We're community involved and have over 100 years of industry experience. We believe our employees are vital to our success. That's why we pay a living wage with benefits.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I chose Minuteman Press because they match the values of our business. Their design team took our vision and idea and turned them into a beautiful, professional printed marketing piece on time as promised. They can help your business, nonprofit, or political campaign with printing, direct mail, signs, or other promotional needs that will help grow your organization. Call the printing company AM 950 Trust, Minuteman Press Uptown, at 612-870-0777 or find them online at mpuptown.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Santita Jackson, and I want you and all your friends to join my new show, The Santita Jackson Show, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
My grandpa Jim Warner treated his customers like family. Warner Stellion is still doing that today. I'm Angela Warner, and to thank you for 67 years, Warner Stellion is offering unbeatable savings on thousands of in-stock appliances, free delivery, and 2 years special financing to qualified buyers. Plus, go to warnerstellion.com for a $50 coupon you won't find anywhere else. These deals end October 13th, so visit us in-store or online soon. You'll love your new appliances and Warner Stellion.
Ryan here with locally owned Snap Construction. Hey, too much snapping. I have an important message. Roofing, siding, insulation, and window material rates have come down considerably. Production is up. Best of all, there's still time to lock in one of the many great city, state, and federal home fix-up loans with rates as low as 0%. Some cities are even offering no repayment until you sell or refi. We don't expect these programs to last much longer. Snap to it and set up your no-obligation inspection quote for your roofing, siding, windows, or insulation job today. Your Snap Construction remodel expert can lay out all the options for your roofing, siding, window, insulation project, along with all rebates, incentives, and federal, state, and city financing programs that you qualify for. Call Snap Construction today, home of the Lifetime Craftsmanship Warranty. For over the last decade, we are arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, insulation contractor in the Twin Cities. Don't take our word for it. Google us. SnapConstruction.com, 612-333-SNAP.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Cloudy skies overnight with a low of 55, then showers and thunderstorms expected on Wednesday, along with some very strong winds with a high of 66. Enjoy some revolutionary Cuban cooking at Victor's 1959 Cafe on Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. Now open for breakfast and lunch with takeout and delivery still available too. More at Victor's1959Cafe.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Why do I laugh every time I hear that?
It's pretty funny. It's number two to Anna. Anna's my favorite. This That's portion right. of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Oh, wait, let me introduce the show.
Yeah,
you're listening
ahead.
To Native Roots Radio Presents, and welcome back. And we're here with Andy Pearson, and appreciate the conversation, too, here going on our chat here on Native Roots Radio Facebook and YouTube. It's pretty interesting. You guys, come on, join in and listen. But we're here with Andy Pearson of, again, MN350. Welcome back, Andy. Thanks for being on. It's, I wish I could go back and count how many times you've been on our show, but... You're always such a great guest, and you're always a great guest. So what's happening? What happened today? Because we've seen some footage, and Lewis mentioned it on the news today. And then also, what are the plans for this coming the rest of the week?
Thank you. Well, it's always just such a highlight to get to be on. The day was absolutely, absolutely powerful. Lots happened. The beginning part of the day was fairly similar to yesterday, except there were actually more folks who risked arrest in front of the White House today. So again, people, you know, met up at Freedom Plaza in D.C., had a little, you know, kind of getting everybody gathered together and then marched together to the White House, where a group of probably about 160 folks risked arrest again in front of the White House fence. Well, a larger group held space across the street, cheering them on, watching all of that. Now, I wasn't at that today because I was over in front of the Army Corps headquarters, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers headquarters, which is about a half mile away in D.C. here. And the reason I was there is that, of course, it is, I think, you know, we know, and I know we talk about a lot on this show, I'm involved in the fight against the Line 3 pipeline, as are a lot of the people who are here from Minnesota in D.C., and there's a pretty good Minnesota delegation here, which is a great thing. And so the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has the power to stop Line 3 from continuing into operation here. We know that substantially they're complete with construction. They've begun but not finished filling the pipe with oil. That's what we know. So you know, very much be a great moment for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to say we have to fully do the environmental study for this pipeline that was never done under President Trump. And so that's the reason that people gathered at the Army Corps this afternoon. And one of the big needs for this gathering was to deliver over 1 million, that's 1 million petition signatures that have been collected by over a dozen groups over months to President Biden and others in his administration, including Secretary of the Army Corps, Jamie Pinkham, calling for that action, for action on Line 3. And so what we did today, this afternoon, is had a large gathering in front of the Army Corps with many speakers. There were boxes and boxes, big banker's boxes, representing all the petition signatures that were there. Staff from the Army Corps came out to receive them. They were taken inside. A number of folks who have been very connected with the Line 3 fight have held down some of the frontline work, including Sasha Bolio and others from Red Lake Treaty Camp spoke, and that was, of course, very powerful. Now, Ron from Indigenous Environmental Network, Ron Turney, who, of course, is one of the people who has documented a lot of Enbridge's construction failures on Line 3, mm-hmm. the ways that, you know, there have been drilling fluid released through frack outs and those kinds of things. A lot of the reason that we know about that at all is because he is a drone pilot and has been able to get incredible footage in the areas where the company is doing construction. So he spoke along with big posters of some of the most moving images that he has. And once that had, the speeches had finished or mostly finished, there were a couple of brave folks who chose to climb up the two large flagpoles that are outside of the Army Corps of Engineer building. They actually took down the American flags that were on those poles, and they put up flags that one of them had a big X drawn through consultation. And I'll remember what the other one was in a second. But very powerful messages. There were flags that said land back, that were out there. So, very powerful message to take down the Army Corps flag, the American flag there, and put up flags about the messages, flags about the moment that we're in, and the need. And so a bunch of folks rallied around, again, several hundred people there, and supported them. And so they were able to do that action.
Wow, that's powerful, Andy. What's going to be happening this rest of the week? Because I know there's people flying in and out of there like Ogama and I did. I took the day off from work, but also worked late with our Chicago area meeting and did that remotely. But what else is going on this week?
There's actions every day. I believe that tomorrow and – Thursday. There will be kind of a similar situation with different groups on slightly different issues, all around climate justice, risking arrest in front of the White House and bringing that message. But there's, you know, there's different things every day, different side events every day. I know Friday it's a little bit different, end of the week youth-led action. And so look for that. That will be very exciting. And, you know, I really think we really only know the half of what we're going to see for the rest of the week here. I would say expect a little bit of the unexpected, just in the ways that actions evolve and new things are added and there's opportunities that come up. So the thing to do, if anybody listening is around the D.C. area and wants to get plugged in, versus to go down to Freedom Plaza, which is right by the White House, go down the evening before you want to get involved, and 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern time is a training. And you can get plugged in there and find out what the lay of the land the next day is going to be.
Wow, Andy, thank you so much for being on in this report, too, and all the work you've been doing. You've been working for and with MN350 for 7 years. That's amazing. That is amazing. You've seen the growth of that organization, and you've been boots on the ground and helping MN350 grow in a good way.
We're doing our best. Thank you. And it's an interesting time to be out here, you know, to just be honest. It's a heavy moment, I know, for a lot of us who've really been invested in Line 3. See the point to that point to which that fight's gotten. And it's also really heartening, I think, to see all the resistance, and that it's not just folks from Minnesota who are out here caring about Line 3, right? But it's people from all over. There's people from all across the country and beyond here who, you know, who have heard about this fight, who care about it. I know, shout out to the Wisconsin folks. I know that, y'all have been showing up, you know, to stop Enbridge. So it is a movement that's growing, and we hope to keep it growing. And it's been a good week. I hope it'll continue.
Right on.
You know, I was going to ask you this, and I should have asked Robert and Ogama this, but have you seen any opposition, like people walking by giving you a hard time, or has it been pretty good?
But I personally haven't seen very much. I've seen a little bit. There was a group of, I think, younger men, maybe even teens, who were, you know, wearing the MAGA hat and walked by yesterday and shouted a few things. I personally haven't seen much beyond that. There's a lot of spaces to be here, so I'm sure that there's been some aggression that I've not witnessed.
Well, again, Andy, thank you so much for being on, and we'll be talking to you soon and maybe get another report this week. So, Pini Gigi, and thank you so much for doing what you do for the water and the environment, and Mother Earth and Father Sky. Thank you so much.
As always, Robert, right back at you. Thanks so much. Take care.
Right on. So, Ogama, did we see anybody out there, or what did you see?
Like any opposition?
Opposition. No.
I didn't see personally too much opposition while I was there. I know early in the morning Monday when I was at Freedom Plaza, I was alone walking around to use the facilities on site. And there was a gentleman who passed me who said, "Oh, is this a reunion for Columbus Day?" And I said, "It's Indigenous Peoples Day," and gave him an expletive about Columbus. But that was so far the only thing that I seen. I think mostly the opposition really came from the Capitol police forces and SWAT teams and Secret Service that were there. I mean, they were prepared like it was the January 6th insurrection again, but it's just a bunch of peaceful people who want to stand against defense. Like nobody even chained themselves to anything. They just stood there.
I think there was more police there than January 6th. And one of the interesting things too, Ogama, was for me to see at the White House was that they didn't have all the barbed wire up when Trump was president. So it was like, you could get pretty close to it again, which I thought was really interesting. But the Secret Service, they were pretty heightened on what's going on. And I still don't understand why they started arresting people. Do you? I mean, that's like bizarre.
They were giving announcements that people were illegally gathering under some statute. But I heard from other media people in the D.C. who have covered things in the D.C. area that basically said, I don't think what they're doing is illegal, that they're just standing there. But my guess is there's probably some sort of statute that you can't hold space there past a certain amount of time, I would imagine, because it ruins, you know, photo opportunities for tourists or something. You know, there was a lot of that kind of scene around the Capitol area. You know, they were washing sidewalks and making sure it was very, very clean, so it looks so pristine for people who come to take photographs of it. And they're prepared and willing to arrest indigenous people who've come to that space, and climate activists who've come to that space, our allies and our other BIPOC relatives, to say, enough is enough, we need to be seen. So that was really frustrating. And on the note that Andy Pearson said, too, who was just on with us, hearing the stories of so many people from across the nation that are experiencing deep trouble due to the climate crisis was just, it was so heartbreaking. There's people from all over the nation, and it really is affecting every part of North America right now, and people are just not awake to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. Some of the speakers from Alaska, Canada, it was well-rounded when we were there observing, and you were live streaming, and I was taking pictures and just really enjoying it. We'll be right back. You know, we're going to talk a little more of this, and Wendy's got some raccoon trivia. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pini Gigi, and thank you for your support.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
All right, Lewis, thank you. Hey, so, and then what else is happening with Howling for Wolves?
Yes, Howling for Wolves. They invite you to an outdoor fundraiser featuring singer Jen Hewitt, and that's going to take place on October 24th from 2 to 4 p.m., and it's at the Downtown Park Pavilion on 9th Avenue in Hopkins. And Jen is an accomplished Native American songwriter who captures the wolf's spirit. So that's really pretty cool. Again, October 24th from 2 to 4 p.m.
Hey, well, welcome back, everyone. And Ogama, you're back up in the deep north, or the occupied north, and you were
to D.C., and I know you were hanging out by the Lincoln Memorial and got to see those places in D.C., a few of those places in D.C., and so what was your feeling about, D.C. and being at this critical time with a lot of Native Americans and allies in D.C.?
You know, I'm still putting my emotions together about it, but I would probably have to say the overall feeling was oppression. I mean, we went to the Lincoln Memorial, and Lincoln ordered the hanging of the Dakota 38 plus 2 here in Minnesota. Yeah. And yes, Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. You know, these things that have happened in our country to get us to where we are now, you know, came on the backs of our Black and Indigenous people, and people of color, and still do. You know, a lot of the workforce that's doing a lot of that work, that was, you know, cleaning sidewalks and, you know, driving cabs and doing those kinds of things, those kinds of works that keep the Capitol running, are people of color. And, you know, that was really, really apparent. It was almost dystopian in a lot of ways. You know, we drove past a Tiffany's, a big, beautiful Tiffany's store surrounded by all these, you know, big buildings that just scream wealth and power. And in the little park in front of it, there was a homeless encampment, just like there was in Minneapolis. And it was just being completely ignored. So, I mean, I have a lot of mixed feelings. I'm very underwhelmed. I'm glad that I went. I'm proud that I went and covered the people who were standing for what's so important with the climate justice. And I still don't like airplanes, so that was good too. Overall, I'm glad that I went, but I emotionally, it's going to take me a little while to unpack from it. It was a hard day to be at that place.
Yeah. And yeah, that is really good insight. I always get mixed emotions there too, but I think you put it really well. You know, our Lyft drivers, the people scraping paint off the street with, you know, I saw that too. That's, you know, and yeah, it's a mixed bag. But you know, I'm glad you went there, and people need to look at Native Roots Radio Facebook page, because Ogama had a lot of live stream going on there, and check out what was happening and also some pictures. And then we also share what's going on there too with our a couple organizations like Honor the Earth and things like that when they pop up, just to keep everything rolling. But that's good, and I'm glad you're home safe. And Lewis, great job on the news. And I think, you know, with the last few minutes here, it's time to play some raccoon trivia.
Well, first, before I play some raccoon trivia, I just want to let everybody know, and Robert, you briefly mentioned this before, that the Wisconsin DNR defies board and reduces the fall wolf quota. And they were supposed to be killing a lot more wolves. But the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources officials on Monday dramatically scaled back the number of wolf hunters can kill, how many wolves they can kill during the state fall season, in open defiance of its policy board. So I'm just going to, yeah.
That's so 130?
Yep, 130, and it was from 300. So is it good news? Yeah, it's good news, but it's still 130 wolves. And we remember what happened last time with the Wisconsin
wolf hunt,
that they really went over that quota in a matter of, you know,
hours,
literally hours. It really was. So yeah,
great to bring that up. And Evers, when I did talk to him on the 11th hole, he did mention that something's going to come up with those numbers. And he didn't say it would end it. So this is what he came up with. And if he's getting a hard time, that's good. He should have went to zero. But yeah, good update, Wendy.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to give a shout out too to, you know, Ho-Chunk Nation, because they are not going to allow any hunters to hunt anything during the wolf hunt on their land. So good for you guys for doing that, because that's really important.
The Ho-Chunk DNR reached out to legislators, and I was just so happy to be involved with that.
You presented the bill.
Yeah.
And it passed.
Yeah, 13-0
Perfect.
Waiting for the president's signature, and it's just awesome. And yeah.
Because wolves are important and sacred.
But to back up again, just really proud of the Ho-Chunk DNR, recognizing that our relatives need to be protected, and they are our relatives. So we got like 3 minutes left, Wendy, and I see Lewis is really eager to play this trivia game.
Okay, let's do some raccoon stuff because we get raccoon news. Rocky Raccoon comes in our backyard. They have bushy ringed tails and a black mask across their eyes, as
we all know.
It is not known why they have a black mask across their face, but one thesis is that it enhances their ability to see at night. They have very thick grayish-brown fur, of which 90% is under fur to keep them warm.
I say this is true. Yeah. Is this true or
false? It is true. Oh,
true.
It wasn't a question, but yeah.
Right. You're jumping the gun.
This is not a question. It's a fact. Oh, oh. In the winter, they stay inside their dens, but they do not hibernate. Raccoons enter a state known as torpor. Torpor. T-O-R-P-O-R. That is true.
That is true.
This allows them to stay asleep and wrapped up in their dens for the winter period. But it's not hibernation. It's called torpor.
And they got those little hands.
They do.
They got thumbs and stuff. They could lock us out of the house if they wanted to.
They really can. Male raccoons mate with many partners throughout 1 year, while females only have one. The female then raises the offspring alone, and the male will continue to do the same thing every year. Deadbeat raccoon dads.
Hey,
this is really something. We're running out of time.
Can I just back up real quick
here?
Nate said, and Dr. Rockman's he supported the non-wolf hunt movement from the executive branch of Ho-Chunk Nation. I just wanted to.
Nice. So it went through.
Yeah.
So, perfect.
But thanks, Nate, for bringing that up there.
Did you know that raccoons can run up to 15 miles an hour, even when climbing a tree? And they can fall from a height of 131 feet and not be harmed.
Do you want to hear some trivia? So if you stand up straight and fall on your arms, like straight out and fall on your arms, that's 15 miles an hour.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And raccoons are also able to swim very quickly. And these are great abilities that help them to escape after they steal people's food.
Wow. On that note, that's awesome. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. Easy, Lewis. I would like to end with these thoughts. We exist, we resist, we rise. If you've been listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, or run for office. Pini Gigi for Andy Pearson for stopping by. Mm-hmm. Lewis with the news, and Ogama for not getting arrested. And so she came back here. That's awesome. We're all happy. Again, if you're listening to the show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier, Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated.